Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoyed the teaching of our guest speaker this week. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org.
Okay, and you know, this is kind of funny because last time I spoke, well, this is actually not funny, but last time I was here to share about what God was doing, I went way over time. So I told Kinnerick, I said, you know those old cane poles they used to use, you know, to kind of take the person off the stage? I said, you know what, get that out, okay, if I go over time. So please, some of you, please wave your hands vigorously, okay? Shut up, okay? I got it. But I'd like to start with just the topic I thought about, compelling grace. And I gave this talk at DTS this year, and then I got this opportunity to share it with you today, and I'm so excited to share about it. But God's compelling grace. We go to the first slide on here. You guys are probably pretty familiar with this if you've been to my talk before, but here's a picture of my mom and dad and my older sister, and there's me. I'm sort of hugging myself, and I think the reason I'm doing that is I'm looking at my dog out of the picture, and I'm wanting to hold him. So, but there's my mom and dad. Check out that bow on my mom, huh? That's styling back then, right? I asked my dad, texting him this last night and this morning. I said, Dad, how many years have you and mom been in ministry? I can't remember. And he texted me and said, 48. And he gave me one of those faces like, you know, 48 years, you know? So they first started a church and then went with the Navigators and then were missionaries many, many years in the Philippines. My dad is wearing the formal attire of the Philippines. It's a barong. So that's our little family. All right, and the next slide is the Philippines. For 10 years of my life, I lived in the shadow of that volcano, Mount Isarog, and it's a very green and lush area. A lot of people say, oh, volcanoes are gray, and I'm like, no, they're not. No, they're not. At least not in this part of the world. They're very lush, and you see all the rice paddies. All that green that's around the bottom is growing that rice that we all love to eat. And so for 10 years of my life, I really lived around a lot of nature. And if you know anything about my art, that's really what I paint. And it helped shape the kind of person I would become. Then for the time I was 10 to when I was 19, we lived in the huge city of Manila that's on the bottom right. You'll notice there's just sprawling, just huge skyscraper after skyscraper. It never stops, but it's also juxtaposed against the slum. And so, in a sense, there was this tearing apart of great extreme wealth, but also this terrible, terrible poverty. And we'll talk about that in a little while as I go along the talk, but that also helped shape who I became growing up around that. So, and the next slide. This is our family photo this year, okay? This is as good as it gets. And if any of you moms out there understand, it's a miracle if you can have all your children looking the same direction at the same time. Am I right? And so, and there's me bringing back the do-rag, you know. Kendrick is totally not even in the picture, bless his heart. But there we are, we're on a hike. One of the things Kendrick and I love to do most is just take these backpacking trips out. This is one of the first ones we've ever done with our daughters. Not sure we're going to do that again anytime soon, but we had a good time. There's Mila and Kiva and Avia. And Mila was hiking us out that day. She was amazing. So, and all my girls are. I love each one of them. They're a blessing. They're a grace. I call them the three graces to my life. Okay, the next slide, please. I want to talk today about culture. And if we were to define culture, let me just give you a definition, okay, from the dictionary. The sum of attitudes, customs, and beliefs that distinguish a group of people from another. Okay? The sum of all the attitudes and customs and beliefs that distinguish us from another culture, from another group of people. Okay? And I find that what's happening in our culture is culture war. And I use these bumper stickers as an example of that. You know, it started with the fish symbol, right? We all had that on the back of our cars. I didn't, because I know my driving. I don't need to be a symbol of Christ on the road. But we had the fish symbol, right? You put that on the back. And then what happened? The unbelievers came to us with the Darwin, remember? They had little feet. And then we were like, no! And so then we got the truth symbol, and we ate up the Darwin, right? And then the unbelievers came back to us with the T-Rex eating the truth fish, okay? Now, if you're like me, what's happening is we're playing a game, and nobody's winning it, right? If you're on social media, it's almost like, how many likes can Jesus get? And if we can get the most likes, we win, right? And guys, that's culture war, and it's not doing us any good. If you'll go to the next slide, this man has really helped change my life. He's one of my mentors. His name is Makoto Fujimura, and he wrote a beautiful book called Culture Care. You can go to the website there, iamculturecare.com, if you're interested in it. It's an amazing book, and he's coined the term culture care. And his definition is to provide care for our culture's soul. Soul care is generative, and generative means originating new life where there was no life before. Now, that's kind of hard to understand, but let me give you an example, okay? Let's pretend culture was a person. And culture is sick. Can we have a testify on that, right? We have a degenerate culture, right? But if we thought of it as a person who was very sick, right, would we be at war with that person, or we want to bring that person back to health, right? And so Mako's idea, and he coined this, is to care for the soul and to start generative things. That means we are going to originate new life where there was no life before. Right? We go into our culture, undercover it in a way, and we start new things and new ways of thinking. And they're really not new because they're based out of this beautiful book, the Bible. Go to the next slide. Why should we do this? Why should we do this? And this was pointed out to me by the beautiful writer Philip Yancey, who used this particular passage of scripture, Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. See to it that no one misses. No one. Guys, if we're going to fight with our little memes on Facebook and we're going to say, you got to be like us, we're letting a lot of people miss the grace of God. Okay, I'd like to show a video. I hope we can do that. Just a clip. Do we have that? I love that. Don't you love that? Don't you want kids like that? I do. I think I have them. But I'll say this. Isn't that beautiful? Let me try to tie that into culture, okay? What if we as Christians are on one side of that chasm, and on the other side is the culture that's sick? What if we, instead of shouting across the chasm saying, would you be like us? Would you vote like us? Would you look like us? And then we'll love you. And what did Jesus do? Jesus laid down. He laid across the chasm. What if you and I did that? What if you and I took that and let them step on us across the way? What if we did that? And I ask the question that comes to mind when I think about that is, okay, great. I love the idea, Don, but how? How do I do it, Mako? How do I do it, right? Well, the first thing I'd say is, next slide. is community. This is my precious ladies' class, and Susan Davis helps me to lead that class, and some of the ladies were out that day, but we still got a photo. And guys, this is a place where we can be real, and I talk about that because a lot of times we come to church and we think, I need to say the right things, I need to answer Jesus to every question, right? This is a place to be real, and it's a way to say, you know what, my faith is hurting right now. I don't know. How about that? That's my answer today. I don't know. And it's also a place of healing, a place of balm. When you hear those songs and they come over you, it's just a balm, isn't it? It's a healing time. And the other thing I like about community is we serve together. This precious group of ladies and I, we go once a month and we go down to the homeless ministry and we talk to people on the street. We also have served in this church, helping doing things in this church. Now, listen, I know every life group in this room could get up here and say that, okay? We are not an exception to the rule. You guys are awesome about community. Well, what I'm talking about, too, is opening our community a little wider and a little wider and a little wider and welcoming all people into that community to be real, to be honest with where they're at, and to welcome them into the family of God, okay? The second thing I do, and I think it comes from this is, this is the verse that goes with this, and let us consider how we may stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And it's one of my favorite passages of scripture, and Kendrick always says it when he prays. It seems like it's one that we always recall to one another. We wanna stimulate one another to love, right? All right, and the next thing is simply listen. It seems like such a simple thing, right? I wonder sometimes if in seminary we could use less theology courses, and by the way, my father is a TTS professor, so I know I'm not saying we don't need theology, okay? Please hear that. But less theology courses and more counseling courses, just to listen, just to learn how to listen well. And not preach back. That's what I'm getting at. And it started with me. I was reading a book by Calvin Miller, and he says, our silence is a door for God to enter. Our silence is a door for God to enter. So when I quiet my heart, when I silence it down, that's when God can enter in and speak to me in a tender way. This came true in my life. This is a little tiny painting I did when I was going through some surgeries. I had 3 summers worth of surgeries on my ankle. And you can imagine, just summer, great. I have my kids home all summer. Why do I need to do this, Lord? I'm really busy. I'm a mom. I've got things to do, right? And I had sort of let that role define me, the things I did. And I remember the first time Pastor David saw me in the parking lot, and he said, how you doing? And I said, oh, I'm good. And I remember him looking at me like, right, you know? And I remember thinking, I'm not doing very good at all. I'm frustrated, and I hate this, right? And the thing that happened to me was I had to go to physical therapy for about 12 weeks. And while I was there, any of you ever had physical therapy? Any of you in this room? You pay someone to torture you, you know? And so you go and you're like, hi, right? And I was there and this wonderful guy named Dennis, and he's like a real athlete, you know, and he's got a sports bottle and all stuff, and I'm thinking, oh, great. And 2.5 hours, and my favorite thing that we did was stick my foot in this warm water, this swirling water that went around my foot, and it felt so good. And yeah, I had to be in there like 20 minutes, and I loved it. I loved it, and it became a joke between Dennis and I. He'd say, do you want a magazine? And I'd say, no, because I wanted to meditate on that water. I wanted to quiet my heart, because there was something in the water that God was talking to me about, and I knew it. And I just remember one day particularly, I was shaking. My muscles had been used so much. You know, they're weak. They've been used so much. And Dennis was so chipper. He was like, you look great. This is great. What a great day. And I was like, oh, you know. And I remember going to that water and just crying for the 20 minutes that I was sitting there. And the dentist said, you need a magazine? And I said, no, I need some Kleenex, Dennis. You know, but God was speaking to me about grace to me. If you're going to give grace, Don, you need to first receive it. Receive grace on your life, right? Can we go to the next slide? So I did a series of waterfalls, and I haven't got all of them on here. We don't have time for all that. Nobody got time for that, okay? But I'm going to show you a couple of them. The first one I did was called the Pool of Bethesda. And if you'll recall in John chapter 5, there's a man who's been afflicted. He's quadriplegic. He cannot get up and get into the pool to be healed. Remember, the angel stirs the waters, and if you could get in the pool in time, if you were the first guy to get in, you could get healed. But he could never do that. Why? He could not get up. And Jesus asked this very poignant question. He says, "Do you wish to get well?" Always, always look at the questions that Jesus asked. They're very poignant, aren't they? Do you wish to get well? And I just remember as I was meditating on that water and I looked up passages of scripture that had to do with water, I came to the pool of Bethesda and I thought, do I wish to get well from my real sickness, which isn't my foot? It's not really my foot. It's defining my mom role is what I do. Right? Have we defined our role? Right? He asked this quadriplegic, do you really want to get better? You've been like that for a long time. Is that your role for the rest of your life? And this man says yes. The wonderful thing I love about this, Jesus comes to him, right? Healing comes to him. And healing came to me. It walked right in my door and came through, right? And I'm still learning that, guys. I'm still learning how to not define my role by what I do, okay? I've not got that captured completely. But God's doing a work, and his grace covers that. And I love the idea of the water flowing down and swirling out. Because as grace pours down on us, then we are to give it out. Ripple it out, right? You've heard that before. All right, and the very last one of my series so far, I still want to do some more. This is kind of a huge one. It's 72 by 36, if I could say 72. That's about to that speaker. It's actually in New York right now, which is really exciting for me. But I skewed it. I did not put the waterfall in the center this time. This time I put it to the side, and I let the darkness be in there. Why would I let the darkness be in there? I had a friend named Matt, and he kind of said it well. I'll say what he said here. He said, "I love the questions inside the dark space. Grace allows the questions." Grace allows the questions, doesn't it? Pours right through it. Yeah. All right, the next slide. What's another way we can do it? Beauty. And I wish I could have shown you the walls before Scott painted these. Scott and his team painted these walls. They were really shabby and kind of chipping, and they were really old and white. And he came through and painted this beautiful brown. This is the baptistry of our church. Many of you may not have even been back there, okay? But I had a pastor came to me and said, "Don, would you like to?" And I said, "Absolutely, I would love to do that. I would love to." And I said, "What's our budget?" And he said, you know. And I thought, you know what? You come to the right lady, because creative people, and I say this, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, creative people can think of ways, right? And guys, the Lord brought people into this grouping, and we were starting to see this happen. If you'll go to the next one. Okay. Pastor has pictures from Israel all along the left side of the walls. There's six ones distinctively picked for what they meant to the space. There is my painting of the waterfall, but then beautiful Sarah Agold got her hands on some chests and some beautiful decorations, and there's a bowl, if you'll notice, a bowl of rocks, white rocks. And I hope you'll notice this when you get to the Home Life Center next week. We are trying really hard to make things significant, the symbolism of what that means. And we are all the living stones, all right? The living stones. I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You are living stones. So I wanted the person who was coming through who is going to be baptized, who is going to enter into our family. Because, guys, that's not saving them, is it? It's a symbol. It's a symbol of entering into the family of God, into our family. I wanted them to look at that bowl and think, I'm building this church. I'm a living stone. And then if you'll go to the next slide, Amy Pope sacrificed much time to put these scriptures on the walls, and our ladies came through and we were able to color in the letters, but she did the hard part. On one side we have this scripture and we have another scripture on the other side. If you'll go to the next slide. This was the before pictures. As you'll notice, the mats were kind of old, and what had happened when we pulled the mats up was that they had gotten so old and wet that pieces of the mat had stuck to the floor. And guys, I just share this, okay, because it's just precious. It's Jesus. Women got on their hands and knees and scrubbed with toothbrushes and knives to get that up. And we had women come in with products, and they said, you know, Dawn, I can't paint, but I can clean. And I said, oh, pray, do it. And I'd come back, and it'd be gorgeous. Go to the next slide. And this is what it looks like now, freshening up that space. Guys, wouldn't it be wonderful if the very first place that one of the new members of our church walked through was designed in beauty, right? Many people say, what's the point of beauty? Why do we need beauty? You don't need beauty. I beg to differ, but I have to ask you this question. Why did God make us? He didn't need us, right? He made us because of his lavish love. And so when you create beauty, you are like God. You are a reflection of him. You are saying, you are worth my time, and making this space special as you enter into the family of God. If you were a part of that space, helping in that space, would you lift your hand? I may have not mentioned everyone's names in there. Pat Hill has also kindly given some paintings to that space. But if you had, could you raise your hand so that the church could acknowledge you? Thank you for that. It was a wonderful thing, because right before Easter, we were pretty much complete. And it was just a joy for me to see these ladies excited. Oh, I can't wait for these people to come through the water. They couldn't wait. And I couldn't wait. All right, next one. Oh. There it is. Create. Okay. Create spaces. Create spaces for people to see things the way the Bible does, right? We don't have to recreate to make culture healthy. We don't have to recreate. We just need to create spaces. Remind them, in a sense, dust off, right? And hold up the truth. These are good truths, and by the way, eternal truths. These are solid, and they're real, and they work. I don't have to design anything around that. I just have to hold it up and say, see, see, yeah, they're enduring. And you might ask the question, well, what if people hurt me? And what if people say mean things to me, right? I love this. This is from Dr. Dyer in DTS, and he says, the church works best when it's being persecuted. The church works best when it's being persecuted. You might not like it. It might start happening more and more. But we work good out of that. We really do. You want to be a New Testament church? That's what they did. This is one of my paintings called John Chapter 1. It comes from the scripture, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In scripture, you'll notice a lot of times that rain was withheld as a sign of punishment. It was a sign of punishment in the Old Testament. If God withheld the rain, then that was his punishment upon the people. And so for me, I wanted to show a rainstorm coming down. It's nourishing, but it's all gray, except for this one small piece of color right in the middle in the valley. And I hope it's like a fresh green color, because it's new growth, and the light filtering through that rain, right? Because I wanted to show that he was the hope and the light. John, the book of John it has this beautiful theme of light and darkness, light and darkness. And guys, this is exciting for me. This painting is in Philadelphia right now. Unbelievers are getting to see this painting, and it's called John 1, right? I share that not because of, I share it because of him, right? How good is he? Okay, the next one, this one's called Cain, okay? And I, as I was looking at the life of Cain, I noticed that he was twice cursed by the land, twice cursed, not only through his father, Adam, right? Cursed is the ground because of you. Remember that curse in Genesis chapter 3, right? But also, he's again cursed after he kills his brother Abel, because God says, now you will be a wanderer upon it, okay? This is exciting for a landscape painter, okay? Because I can now interpret Cain into a landscape, right? I'm so excited about this. And the first time I did it, I had two little trees, the example of Cain and Abel. And I didn't like it. It looked like they were a couple. So I took the small tree out. And then I bent the tree. So sin is crouching at your door, ready to capture you, Cain. So Cain is bent and twisted away. You'll notice in the background, there's a rain, and the ground is green and growing. But around Cain is this deadening happening. The scripture says that Abel's blood cries to him from the ground, cries to God from the ground, right? And that's why there's this burnt color. Scripture is able to be shown again in a fresh way. Okay, next one. And this is the one we'll be doing for the Home Life Center. I'm so excited about this. I brought my seed today. You notice this? What is this? Can you see it? It's an acorn. It's an acorn tree. I love seeds. And the idea is we're growing strong families in the Home Life Center. It's happening right there. And you're going to get to see the unveiling next week, and I'm so excited about that. Right? Looking for a bowl of rocks. Look for that next week. Okay? But also, thinking about growing strong families, we think of the analogy of seed to tree. Seed to tree for our families. We start with the child and we grow it, right? The Lord says, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, we sacrifice our lives, right, for the great good of him. And I show this three trees in a very quiet light. The light's almost going down. Is the three generations, the family generations going on and on. We hear family tree all the time, don't we? Yeah. And there's this little stream running through. And that little stream is grace. Water is always grace to me. I can't do mommyhood. I can't do wifehood. I simply cannot do anything, I'll be honest with you, without God's grace. And I want that to be a part of the... Okay, there is over 100,000 species of trees in the world. They are the lungs of our earth. I love that. Many of you have heard me say this, but the Bible begins with a tree, and it ends with a tree. And in the middle is this beautiful tree of Calvary, right? The symbolism of trees is biblical. It's a biblical symbol. Yeah. So come next week and see if you want. All right, then the last one, love. And you might think, why did you show that picture for love? Going back to the Philippines, y'all. And this was when I would go down to the bus stop to catch my bus to go to school. There would be these street children that lived right on the street where I would go. I would leave and go to school, but they would be there. And if you'll notice, the older children are on this kind of box they've cut up, and they've let the younger kids have the mattress. And you might be wondering to yourself, why are they sleeping in the daytime? And simply because it's safer, because at nighttime they are preyed upon, and at many times they are sold. And because of that, that broke my heart. And you guys know this story, I don't have to tell you this again. But it broke my heart, and it's never repaired, and I don't want it to. I want it to be broken. And this helped shape my story into who I would become. Those children's lives mattered to me, all right? The next slide. the Lord was working on me, and I came across this passage, and it said, "Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." Would you admit with me that there's more than just bars that's a prison? There are all kinds of prisons. There are prisons in Garland. Prisons of addiction. There's prisons of sin, right? There's prisons of families that are broken. And if I could remember to be with them in their suffering, right? The next slide. This is the Dallas County Juvenile Justice Center. Here in Dallas County, we have many, many. This is just for teens, ages 13 to 18. And it's really a cheery picture, isn't it? I mean, the bright sun and the grass and everything like that. I've never seen it this way. I'll just be honest with you. it's not quite as cheerful. But there are some people doing some awesome things in the walls of this place. If you go to the next slide. This is one of their, they call it pod. They call it a pod. It's really a jail cell for the kids. And I was able to take one of the photographs of one of the girls in there, and this is her pod. If you'll look, she has a blanket, two blankets, and then a mat. That's pretty much it. If you'll look to the kind of the right, there's a shaft of light that comes through. Pretty cold, guys. Pretty cold in the wintertime. And they go get only two blankets. I've asked about if we could make blankets for the girls, and they've said yes, but you have to supply it to the entire floor. And so if any of you guys would like to make hundreds of blankets, I would totally appreciate that, and I would help you. But we're thinking about that. But this is their pod. Okay, go to the next slide, please. And this is the team that I volunteer with every Tuesday night with Alert Ministries. It's called Alert Ministries. Judy and Linda and Jana, and there's my big fat head, Dawn. And if you'll notice, Judy is right under her name. She's a retired school teacher, so she has that very commanding voice. I love it. The kids all respond to her when she speaks. A perfect lady to learn from. Linda works at DTS as the media arts, puts together some beautiful creative things. And this woman knows her Bible. It is in her heart. And she can quote scripture in the most poignant way. And not in a fake way, but in a real way. She brings the truth and she just holds it up and dusts it off and says, "Look, see, and it works." Right? And Jana is 74. And I told Jana this. I said, "Jana, you're a hottie. You are a hottie, man. Look at you." And she's like, you know, and I tell you this because she's the grandma. And all the girls want a hug from grandma. All the girls want Jana, right? And there's Dawn, right? And God brought this wonderful team together, and we're growing. When I first started, we had two girls come, and now we've almost got 20. And now we've had to split the pods up. We had to split the groups up between wards. And so two of us go to 10 girls, and two of us to another 10 girls. And guys, let me just say this. How many are going to the boys? How many are going to the boys? One. There's one man going to the boys. You want to stop what's happening to generate culture? You want to make a difference? Go and love a boy who's not had a mom and dad to teach him the right way, who hasn't been cared about, who's not been shown compassion. Man, we love to complain about culture, but how about doing something about it, right? And we could certainly use more hands on the rope. We really could. Alert Ministries is the only ministry that's allowed to come once a week. The rest of the ministries are allowed once a month. And one of the things I love about it is we're a life skills program. We're really not a religious program, we're a life skills program. But we are allowed by Dallas County to speak about Jesus. Basically, they said, "We don't care. Come in, teach him Jesus, but teach him how to fill out an application." Okay? And we said, "All right, we can do that." And so we have gone through filling out an application, how you dress for a job interview, right? And you might ask yourself, why, Don? Why are we going to these girls? If you go to the next slide. This is girls' circle. We have them sit in a circle so that we're all equal. Nobody's standing up. Nobody's looking down on you. We're all feet to feet, looking at each other, right? I can't show you their faces, and I'm not allowed to share their real names, okay? But they are the most at-risk group. And some of these girls have been trafficked in Dallas. And if you don't believe me, they have tattoos that are inscribed on their bodies. They have a little dollar sign, little tattoo that says moneymaker. I have a girl right now, and right across her neckline it says property of, and I can't read the rest. That's happening in our backyard. These girls are worth our time and our love. Now, are they loving? Is it easy to go up there and just love on these girls who are tough? No, it's not. As a matter of fact, I say this a lot, God's doing a work in me. Let me give you an example of that. A couple of weeks ago, we were sitting there watching a film, and two girls right in front of me started fighting. And I'm never in any danger, just sharing that, we're never in any danger. There's detention officers, and Mr. Higgins, the warden, is there with us. And so broke up the fight, and they put the girl right behind me who had started the fight, right behind me. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I leave Tuesday night at 5 o'clock, go through traffic to go downtown, to be away from my family until 10 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking this in my mind, okay? This is me being really real with you guys. I'm thinking in my mind, I missed my kids for this? That's what I'm thinking, right? And this girl says, we're finishing up the movie, and she goes, Miss Dawn. And I turn around and I said, what is it? And she says, do you love me? And I said, of course I love you. And then she mouthed, I'm sorry. And guys, God was beating me up on the way home. He was saying, that's right, did you want it the way you wanted it, Dawn? You wanted ministry the way you want it to be? You want these girls to all respond to everything you say? You want them all to come to know Christ and just be always positive and kind? Is that the way you want it? Because that's not the way I've designed it. Guys, there's only a grace that happens when you're doing it. I can tell you all about it up here. I can say, God did this and it was amazing. And this amazing thing happened, and God used me in my weakness, but you don't get it. You don't really get it until you do it. And that's the amazing part, is I'm always a nervous wreck before I come up here to speak because I'm not a public speaker, but in the moment I'm speaking, I get this grace. Right now, for right now. And as soon as I step off this platform, I'm gonna be shaking. Yep. That is God. God is at work in our weakness. And as he's helping shape our culture, he's helping shape us. Because we're not done yet either, are we? Because God's doing a work in our hearts too. Maybe to conform us to his heart for this city. Pastors talked about doing good for the city last week, and I thought, oh, I love that. I love that. That's right. We need to do good for the city. If you go to the next slide. This was a painting I did for one particular girl. Actually, it was about one particular girl. And I'll call her Esther. That wasn't her real name, but we've got so many girls coming through. We get them from 6 to 9 months. And 2 weeks ago was my one-year anniversary. And this was the first girl that really touched me. Like, I really loved her. I told Kendrick, I said, I wish I could take her home. I wish I could take her home with us. Because I just tell you guys, I don't know where they go after jail. I can't find them. They don't contact us, and they go back right into the same context that they were put in, that put them in jail. What can I do, Lord? What can I do, I'd ask. And the Lord said, love. Love them. Just love them. And I pray that the seeds that we're planting would grow. Right? And so for Esther, I painted this storm, and it's called a pulse. And you might think, what does that mean? That's a good question. That word means to the act of striking against something. And this was my prayer, that when they would get out into the free, that's what they call it, when they get out into the free, they would strike against God. They would smash against him. That his people would be ready with open arms, that wherever they went, if they went to the store to get a candy bar, wherever they went, they would feel his presence there. And they would know it to be real and true. And because they'd seen love, real love, and by the way, every girl asks me, do you get paid to come here, miss? And I say, no, sweetheart. We come here because we want to. And it makes a difference to them to know that I came because I wanted to see them. Right? So if God could, in his furious love, strike against their life and make a difference, right? And you go to the next slide. I just want to share this with you, the final thought. Titus 3:3-5. For we also once were foolish, ourselves disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Isn't that true? We are all the same. We're all equal. I tell the girls that. I'm like, girls, we're not the church ladies coming to you telling you to live. And by the way, there's a church that comes, and I say this, Lord, let it be in love. And the girls call it Snickers Church. And I asked the girls, I said, what are you talking about, Snickers Church? And they said, oh, yeah, that's the group that likes to come and preach at us, miss. And then they throw us the candy bars. That's not culture care. That's not culture care. Be like us. Look like us. See ya. Last night that Esther was with us, the last night she was with us, she looked at me, tears just streaming down her face. And she said, I can't do this. I can't do this, miss. I can't go out in the free. I want to stay in jail. It's funny, when you first get them, they say, please, Lord, help me get out of jail. Please get me out of jail. Then the last thing they say is, please don't let me out. Don't let me out. And I looked at her and I said, you can do it. You can make good choices. You can do this. It's reminding ourselves that the Lord has given us each grace. And for us to care, first takes us to receive it for ourselves before we can give it out to the world. Would you join with me in prayer for these sweet ones and also for ourselves and our church? Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for this precious time to speak about what you're doing, Lord, in our culture around us. So amazed, Lord, at your love. I pray for these girls, Lord. I pray for the ones that are out. I pray that you would come against them, Lord, and your furious love would be there to surround them. I also pray, Lord, that you would grow in us a desire to change our culture from the inside out. This church would be a place of welcome and love and joy and peace. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.